KCMO.
The following is a paid program and does not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of Cumulus Media and FM 103.7 and AM 710 KCMO, Kansas City's most stimulating talk. Percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Wow, it was so nice today. Had to do the iced coffee. Yeah, it's already summer, springish. Gorgeous outside. Also did lemonade. You want the recipe? It's not quite as good as that orange chiffon cake that's on the website, but hey, it's close. Incredible headlines this week, and all across the board, too. You mean strange, stranger, and strangest. First, my guest tonight, NDE experiencer Gary Wimmer, psychic. His story is absolutely extraordinary. You're not going to forget this one. So if you haven't met the psychic that you have been wowed by, listen tonight or listen to the podcast later, because Gary is pretty incredible. In the headlines, one of the biggest mysteries is this 24-year-old who disappeared in Brazil. He's was working on this project, a special alien project, according to his sister. Locked himself in his room for hours. And the parents, I guess they were away on vacation anyway, they said he acted normal before they left. But when they came back, they found all of these 14 encrypted manuscripts on space. The walls were covered in code and Illuminati symbols. They have no idea what happened to him, if like he was beamed up. Anyway, his sister says he's got 14 books that he wants to publish, so we think he's going to come back. But as of yet, he is still missing. That one was the biggest one. The fun thing, though, is that we're now finding that, yes, the elders are right. These oral stories do have a source, and finally they can confirm it with science. Archaeologists, this is a British Columbia Central Coast, the area that they were digging. There's a they said that this particular little inlet, strait, whatever it is, had remained open during the last ice age, and that they survived. And so archaeologists have dated it now, 14,000 years ago, about three times as old as the pyramids. And most of the continent was covered in glacial ice. And this was a little small strip of coastline where they are. And they found what they ate, big game, large mammals. Then they also decided to switch from that to sea lions and finfish 5,700 years ago. That's the dating on this is fantastic. So anyway, they're doing some more work on that, but there was like a big hurrah from all the indigenous nations going, yeah, see, told ya. Get over your science, dudes. We know what we're talking about. The weirdest one of the week was the mermaid. Fresno County, they identified her, but the first headline that went out was they found a missing mermaid. They finally decided that her name was Joanna, and possibly she was a victim of a crime, but she was wet. And so she said she'd come from a nearby pond or lake. And the story, obviously, was the best of the week. And so at this point, they posted pictures. They posted more information. They want to know what happened to her. So anyway, I'll put that on the website, too. But that you don't hear those often. And they also said, incidentally, she did have web feet. That's in the write-up. That's it. It's like, okay. Himalayan glaciers. Living entities. They said they're tired of these things getting completely and totally destroyed. The environmental damage is, they've had it. So they've decided that along with some Himalayan waterfalls, meadows, lakes, forests, they have been granted living entities, which means they are treated just like anybody would be a human. You try to cause harm to somebody else, then you're in trouble with the highest court. So, good luck. Good luck. Be kind to nature, okay? Nature has allies. The Himalayan court is one of them. The cool thing, I saw this on the YouTube, and I didn't keep up with all the stuff that Will Smith turned down, all right? However, when I did realize that, yes, he did turn down the role of Neo in Matrix, they asked him if he had any regrets, and he said, you know, rarely do I say this, but I watched his performance and I would have messed it up. The Matrix, I wasn't smart enough to have just let the movie be. And he said, yeah, he let him tell the story, and I couldn't have done it. But the cool thing is, one of the guys, the YouTubers who does all this mashup of stuff, he put Will Smith in it so you can kind of see what it would look like if Will were actually doing the role of Neo in The Matrix. And it's fun. Keanu, boy, he owned it. He owned the part. There were, in Canada, some highlights in the UFO department that stood out. And they had a lot of, you know, this is a whatever, balloon. You know, that's always the popular one. It's a balloon up there or a lantern. And these are the ones they still don't know. They're confounded by. The unknown included a commercial airplane over Toronto had a near miss. And this was November 14th, so kind of recent. And they said the flight crew noticed the object directly ahead looked to be solid, about 5 to 8 feet in diameter, shaped like an upright donut or inner tube. So they got a good look at it. Cabin crew members also had injuries when they had to take evasive action. It was right in the way. So it's not like they just imagined it. They avoided contact. And while the object was not likely a balloon, and somebody said, it could be a drone, they also noted that drones could not fly at that altitude and distance, and the Transportation Safety Board says, we don't know what it is. So it gets the legit unidentified airborne object. Now, the cool ones that are the encounter ones, these were the ones that were a lot more interesting than your usual encounter. One guy who reported a thin, 6-foot-tall, long-fingered white alien in a black suit spoke to him in his bedroom before leaving by walking through a wall. Isn't that show that's on TV right now, The Alien? That looks like the tall, long, he's got the blonde, the white, never mind. Okay, maybe not him, but a resemblance. And there's another guy who said he was transported into a field of plants, plunged into a bathtub, where he was surrounded by three green, big-eyed, humanoid creatures who communicated with him telepathically. Okay, you may laugh, but when it happens to you, you're going to be on this list going, it wasn't a weather balloon. The black suit's a giveaway. No, I don't know. Anyway, so those are the Canadian. I like reading the details because sometimes it just helps you connect the dots. The other one that was really cool, this is the pet people. You'll appreciate this. The lady who had the bee, this is in Oklahoma, she had the beehive in her yard. And she said that she called somebody to get rid of the bees. And she said, no, I don't want anybody to hurt the bees, somebody who can come out here and make sure no bee is harmed. And so when it fell on her head as he was removing it from the tree, yes, the hive, she was standing underneath, you know, just kind of supervising, and the hive fell on her head. She didn't get one sting, not one. The bees heard her. They knew that she had good intentions. However, the beekeeper did get stung. He said he got at least 3 times because, he was annoying them, okay? She was okay. She was overseeing and trying to make sure things went well. When he bobbled it, then the bee said, okay, gotcha. And one more, Tom DeLonge going after the UFO story in a big way. People have been concerned about what his intentions were, and he was finally vindicated when the CIA report came out and John Podesta was listed, and his contact with John Podesta saying, yes, we did talk to Tom DeLonge about UFOs, and he's got a project. It's got like nine books or something coming out about this. So we're going to listen to just a little bit of Tom DeLonge before we go into, and a tiny, tiny, tiny bit, all right? Tiny bit before we go into our break with our guest, Gary Wimmer. He's an amazing psychic, okay? Next on Wendy's Coffee House.
Hey, Mom, there's something in the back room. Hope it's not the creatures from above. You used to read me stories as if my dreams were boring. We all know kids.
You think psychics know when things are happening? That isn't always the case. However, okay, Gary, for some reason, is AWOL. Now, he did say, when we were booking the interview, that he might have a baby shower. And he had been booked. But he wasn't booked, and he said he would confirm. So Cody Lee is trying desperately to get Gary on the phone. And what happens sometimes is when this kind of derails, there's a reason for it. So I will give you a little bit of background about why Gary is so unique and so amazing. Back in, I don't have the time and dates for all of the things that happened, but maybe 77 or so, he was experiencing things that all of a sudden changed his viewpoint. He was at one point sitting in a bar, and he knew the person. He was saying he wished he wasn't there, and he knew the person who was coming in. All of a sudden, he was out, and he could see the two people, what they were wearing, as they were coming into the bar where he was seated. And at that moment, something jarred him back to being there, sitting at the bar. And so he did this two or three times, and then he told a friend. He said, "I know who's coming in." And the friend thought he cheated, but he was able to pull it off two or three times. And things began to progressively happen where he expanded, and he would know about people. He could hear their thoughts. He had these incredible experiences that didn't make sense. And when these kind of things start happening, you think you're losing your mind. Some people would call it a Kundalini awakening, because all of a sudden your psychic stuff just goes into overdrive, and it's incredible. And it's there's really are a few places to go to get grounding for that. But the thing with this is that it continued, and as he's experiencing this, he's wondering what the heck to do with it. Is Gary on the line? Okay, I see the flashing here, so we'll go ahead and let him join in on the story. Hey, Gary, how you doing? Can you hear me?
I want to apologize to your audience. I was speeding on the way back from Wimberley.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah, I was talking at a near-death convention there this afternoon, and got a ticket.
Oh, no. Okay, well, yeah. Sorry, but thank you for making it.
Yeah, I was just about to give you a ring. Like I said, when I first talked to you, I just walked in the door. So enough of that. My apologies. I'm sorry, audience, and it's a pleasure to be with you, my dear.
Oh, you're good. You're good. I was just beginning to tell people, and all I did was just a quick overview to say why you're so unique. And I just jumped in at the point where you were sitting in the bar and you're having the conversation. You were able to see people who were coming in and their vantage point, and then you kind of pop back to yourself, and you had a friend, you had a bet, and you could tell him that you could see these people, and he thought you were cheating somehow. But
right. I just outside. Yeah, it was I'm not sure how much you told about my experience, but I assume you kind of gave some heads up to that.
I just dove right in there. So thank goodness you've got the best lowdown on this. So please give him a little more background on. You changed at that point of your life. So that's all they got.
This is I'll give about a 5-minute scenario, and then you could ask me some questions, and I could go into more detail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was always interested in psychic ability since college, questioning religion. I performed as a musician most of my life. In 1977, I quit a band, and that night, even that day, I felt things strange. I started feeling people saying things before they would say them. And this kind of freaked me out. I couldn't sleep that night. The next day, my roommate came in with the newspaper, and I saw the headlines through his eyes. He went to work. Both my roommates went to work. I started unpacking my things and could feel that I was taken back to where people had given me these items or poems or a little vase or whatever. I had just moved back into this place, so I was setting my stuff up. This was the first day, and by the second day, that night I went to the bar. Either that or the second night, I went to the bar, like I said, and was overwhelmed by what I was picking up. I walked down to the store, and all of a sudden I was picking up what everybody was thinking. And by that night, I was sitting at a bar stool, imagining taking a break outside, and all of a sudden I'm standing outside, and I see these people walking in, and they walked right through me, and it startled me, and I opened my eyes, and I'm back in the bar seat, and then they came through dressed as I'd just seen them, and I did that a couple times and thinking, wow, this is amazing. And my roommate came in, and I bet him some money. I could tell how the next people were dressed, which brings it up. I did it a couple times. He could no longer deal with it. He walked off. By the third or fourth day, this ongoing, escalating psychic ability had taken me over. Now, I started getting readings in the early 70s. I've always been interested in this, but this was on, it was like there was a brick on the accelerator. I turned it off. I had no brake. I didn't know what button to push. But by the third day, life was completely different than anything I'd ever known, because I was in this state 24 hours a day. I'll give your listeners one example of some bizarre things that I felt. I got real close to one of my roommates. I had to talk to somebody about this. They both noticed I was acting very bizarre, and be able to, tell in advance who was going to call next, tell the time people were going to come over, just tell everything.
Mm-hmm.
Hear a car coming up the road, and I could tell my roommate what color it was, and I could even describe the driver.
Wow.
And I even know what the driver was feeling, but I couldn't prove that.
Mm-hmm.
So by the fifth and sixth day, this was going to the point it was between the finest ecstasy I've ever known in my life and the most terrifying fear. And I walked that tightrope, I suppose I could say, for a solid 7-8 days. And at the end of this 8 days, it had gotten so intense that I'm walking down a street in Austin, and I'm crying, and I'm praying, and I'm scared to death.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to this time, I had felt, but never seen, I'd felt the presence of these guardian angels, and they seemed to name themselves the monitors. I could feel them monitoring me.
Yeah.
Never saw them, but I could feel them at times. So I'm walking down this street at the eighth day, and praying and crying, and there's a lot of people on the street looking at me, wondering what the hell's going on, and suddenly I felt this incredible warmth. And fear just dissipated instantaneously, and I opened my eyes, and there's this huge light over my head. And I remember thinking if I had a ladder, I could touch it. It was 6 feet away, not seven, not three. I looked around, and none of these people who had been staring at me, wondering what the hell's going on, they didn't see this.
Mm.
I couldn't believe they couldn't, but they didn't react to it at all. I looked back up at it,
mm-hmm.
and I saw these seven guardian angels. And they basically said in one voice, "Do you trust us?" And I said, "Yeah, absolutely. I just don't understand what's going on." They said, "You will. Do you trust us?" I said, "Yes." And then I realized they're the monitors. I said, "You're the monitors. You're real." And they said, "Yes." Well, meanwhile, these people on the street see me talking to empty space.
Yeah.
And within seconds, to make a long story short, I was hit by a speeding car as a pedestrian. Instantly, I was outside of my body, looking back at this accident happening. Then I was expanding in all directions. I saw the whole Earth from 360 degrees, north, south, pole, all parameter, all. It was like it was inside me.
Mm.
And I was expanding like a balloon. And within, pretty immediately, I had completely forgotten about me and my body and the car accident and everything. I was just expanding outward like the surface of a balloon.
Mm-hmm.
It was thrilling, to say the least.
Yeah.
It was an incredibly beautiful, empowering, enlightening experience. And I went through all the different planets, and I got to the edge of the universe and expanded beyond it and recognized it as a thought. A divine thought, not an actual creation, but it's real enough for us here.
Mm-hmm.
I went through a level that I call the colors. They seem to name themselves as such. Right at the edge of the universe that when souls come into the Earth, because I realized this instantaneously because I was expanding the same way souls come back.
Wow.
They collapse at the edge of the universe inward and then to the point of birth.
Yeah.
But they go through this level called the colors that gives them the ability to use their senses and their mind and their consciousness awareness to be able to tap back into the infinity from which they just came or during their lifetime, so to speak. So anyway, I'm outside this universe, and I realize that there's infinite universes, and I see them like a star-studded sky, which in no time at all turned into a tunnel of light, and I'm being drawn through that tunnel of light. And that's the most beautiful description of it, because it actually looks like a tunnel of light. Like,
okay, Gary, we're going to have to stop, so take a break right now. That's a perfect spot. You're in the tunnel of light, and we're waiting with bated breath.
Let me know, girl. I'll be right here.
Okay, so this is where we're picking it up when we come back out of the break. But you're listening to Gary Wimmer. He's a psychic. He's also had an extraordinary NDE. And there's a whole lot more to come with this. So if you miss any of it, go back and catch it on the podcast, okay, at Wendy's Coffee House. but this is stuff that people have difficulty trying to put into words. And it's nice to hear from an experiencer some kind of way to at least, you know, give us an image, an impression, what it's like to be beyond your body. Next, with Gary Wimmer, Wendy's Coffee House on KCMO. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Hi there. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate your time. I hope you're having an interesting evening. Gary Wimmer is the psychic we're talking to right now. GaryWimmer.com. You can find out a ton of information on his website. But he's had several amazing experiences. But this is what we're getting into right now. This is a near-death experience that he was in the midst of telling before we had to take a break and, you know, put in some news. Anyway, we were at the Tunnel of the Light, which is really a good place to start.
So, well, I'll tell you, I wish there was a button to go from here to there instantly.
Oh yeah. This is where the good part is. And then, so what happens from the Tunnel of Light?
Well, after going, the interesting thing is, from the time I left my body and started expanding, I started losing more and more awareness of myself or Earth or creation. It was pure sensation. I had no self. It was just experience. So I come out of this tunnel light almost like a clown being shot out of a cannon at a circus, into this infinite blue void. Mm. And I knew I was in heaven or the mind of God. It was infinite, and it was infinite love, and it was infinite beauty. And I could see, and the best I can try to put it into words, it was everything as one big lump of infinite creativity, yet through this came all universes and creation and thoughts. It's one big divine pulsating thought. And it had two choices, either exist and everything exists, or not exist and nothing exists. Because it's unrestrained. There's nothing, and it's infinite creative power. And at the core of it is infinite love. I do the best I can to describe this in my book, A Second in Eternity, which mm-hmm. takes through this. But it was pure ecstasy, and I never thought about the fact that I was witnessing it. I actually felt like I was at one with it. But somewhere in this process, I felt like I was witnessing it, and I was drawn out and back through this tunnel of light and through this star-studded sky of universes and into a particular universe, which happens to be this one, with no awareness of where I was going. But I sort of liked where I was, you know. I use the term spiritual gravity to describe what it felt like. It's pulling me somewhere, and I have no idea where. And then, of course, I enter this solar system and this galaxy and this solar system and hover around Austin, where the scene of the accident happened, and saw my body on the middle of the street, and immediately I'm in it. And there's this red-haired driver who's screaming. He's completely panicked. There's people screaming. The car's all banged up, and I feel no pain whatsoever. Hell, I'd just been to heaven,
yeah.
You know? Mm. So I leaped up to my feet and started talking to people and asking if they'd seen us. Oh, the crowd got bigger. The cops came, the ambulance. They couldn't keep me in the hospital. I wasn't hurt. Everybody asked me what went on. I tried to describe it, you know, and yeah. I can understand why nobody would believe me, of course. You know, I had to go through a couple procedures, psychiatric hospital, a court, this sort of thing. But that was such a light, cheap ticket price to pay for my ride there and back. 8 months later, in asking the universe why this happened to me, what did I possibly do to deserve such a thrill ride, whether anybody believes it or not?
Mm-hmm.
And it finally occurred to me, because these monitors came back in about 8 months later, and through a very interesting process I describe in the book, they shot this thought into my head, and it played off like credits on a movie, and they explained that it was by my curiosity. And they explained why they used the accident to do this. And they explained, yeah, they're very real, and their job's kind of done. They're going to move on and enjoy what you learned and use it, and told me a lot about my life. And as I was coming back into the planet, I was seeing a lot of what we're seeing going on in the world now. This happened 40 years ago to me, in 1977.
Yeah.
And I could see that after the turn of the century, things were going to get real kind of strange and crazy and intense. But to you, Wendy, to myself, to all your listeners, we're clearing out the crap so we can have a better, peaceful world. That's really where we're
absolutely
headed.
Absolutely.
Inspire the garbage that seems to be accumulating along the way.
Well, you can't fix the problems until they're front and center and they're bold-faced.
Absolutely.
And, you know,
absolutely.
That's part of it.
Try to fix the holes in the boat if you don't know where they are.
Well, okay, so how far ahead, you know, given that you were there for a few moments, how far ahead did you see?
It felt like a couple generations, a couple hundred years, or at least 100 years or two. The timing of a lot of things is evasive, whether it's an earthquake happening or when's he going to ask me to marry him, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think it's just a single thing. It depends on a bunch of, like, a domino, a chain reaction of things.
Really is. It really is. And human consciousness, which we're, I'm an optimist there, too, we're getting wiser and better and smarter and more aware, it can have a different effect rather than people being complete idiots. There's enough of those. So there's some stuff that's inevitable and some that's not. But what I saw was, a lot of skirmishes, wars, terrorism. I saw 9/11 in 1977.
Wow.
And in 1997, 95, excuse me, I'm playing music on a cruise ship in Sweden, and a Swedish guy told me this just happened. I ran down to the crew room and saw it on TV live, the second plane. I saw that same scene in 1977 as I was collapsing back into Earth, but I couldn't put it into context.
Yeah. How would
you?
You
know, this is probably going to happen or did happen or is a possibility. I've seen a lot of Earth changes in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of problems with global warming and things, but I also see a more enlightened world coming in spite of this or because of this.
Gary, real quick question. You saw the U.S. How's Kansas looking in that?
Oh, you're in the safest place in the country.
Yes!
Yeah, you really are.
Our listeners are thrilled.
It's the low-lying lands in the east and west coast that are dangerous from, and that should come as no secret. Global warming happening every day, you know.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Some of us just admit it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's pretty obvious. Every scientist on the planet says, yep, it's happening.
Well, the people who live along the coast, there's a place in Texas, they used to have 50 families, they're down to 30, and they say that by this younger generation that we will not exist. So, you know, something's happening there, but a big ice cube melting.
Amen. And I, to your listeners and to you, Wendy, I'm not proud to admit that Representative Lamar Smith from Texas is my representative and on the head of the science committee. And this guy doesn't even believe in global warming or science. And he's on the committee. And I've written him letters saying, Mr. Smith, if the laws of physics were wrong, your car wouldn't run, your phone wouldn't run, your computer wouldn't run. Same laws of physics are saying that global warming is real. But, of course, you can't tell someone the Earth is round if they want to believe it's flat. You know.
Well, that would be one of our speed bumps.
Oh, that's absolutely true.
It's one of our speed bumps. Okay, now my question, though, is with all the stuff that you saw changing, and, you know, when you're doing a reading for people and stuff, do you get specifics, or is it much like that? There are pictures, and it's hard to pin things down.
It really depends. Everybody's got their own psychic perspective and slant, so to speak. For example, I'll answer your question by an example. The lady I learned to read stones from, which is the method I use, lithomancy, L-I-T-H-O-M-A-N-C-Y, she showed me her system, and she would usually pick up different things than I would pick up. In fact, we did readings for the same person an hour apart. And compared, I asked the person, I was curious, you know. Alice didn't care, but, and the people said, oh, you said the A side of this, and she said the B side, or vice versa, like two sides of a coin fitting together. I tend to see what people are going through and why and what they're learning.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to see a story that over a 12-week period, because that method is like reading a clock, like 12 weeks. Sometimes there's real specifics. Sometimes it's like a trend of opportunity during this period, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But basically, there's more possible than we believe.
Absolutely.
It all starts with having it in your mind that you can hit a home run as opposed to strike out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we hear from people who have this kind of thing, it isn't just manifesting. It's just having that basic teeny tiny sense of I can that brings it into that opportunistic role. And then you know, instead of seeing the worst thing that can happen, you see the best thing that can happen. And somewhere in between, something's going to come through.
Absolutely. I mean, we learn techniques in school to write and to add numbers, and we learn to drive cars. Techniques, the more driving or writing you do, the better you become. Why would we not apply that same simple logic about techniques in life, in managing ourselves, in exploring ourselves? Practice makes perfect. You know, you ask questions, you set yourself up for an answer. You know?
Yeah. I like the fact that you were so curious, and that part of it, you know, the answers that they gave you, that made a difference. There are some people who would equate what you went through as like a Kundalini awakening, because that's when all the senses just, you know, the fire starts and everything gets turned on at once. It sounds like that when you were saying you were frightened. What were you most afraid of?
Well, I didn't know what was going on. I knew from being a psychic that I had ability and had practiced it to pick things up. But this was like an avalanche, and I had no off button, and I couldn't figure out why it was going on. Okay, a day or two of this, fine. Fun, enjoy the ride, back to normality. But normality didn't come back. This just kept accelerating. And so by the second or third day, I was not only enjoying this ride into a higher dimension of awareness, but also terrified because I couldn't get off the damn tilt-a-whirl.
Couldn't take a break, yeah. Yeah, there was a story. Ingo Swann said he went to the copper room that the Menningers were running at one point years ago, and that copper room elevates experiences. And he said it changed him. One of the people I talked to, Sandra Martin, literary agent who dealt with him, she said it changed him afterwards because, like you're talking about, he couldn't shut things out. It opened that little window, that wing, and it just wouldn't go away. So when it went away, are you able to access it at any point after the near-death experience? Oh, you know, maybe we're 45. I got to take a break. Okay, fine. I'm going to take a quick break. And do you get what my question is, Gary?
Keep that thought, and I'll be here when you come back.
Okay,
dear.
Good. It's a quick break, and we'll be back. Wendy's Coffee House on KCMO. Wendy's Coffee House on KCMO. The good thing is that we've learned from Gary, Kansas is a good place to be. We frighten people off, but that might be a good thing, okay? We don't want it to be too crowded when things get really, really frightening or dicey. Okay, Gary, that's my interpretation. We talked about when you were talking about that wide open feeling of knowing thoughts and knowing way, way, way too much information that it was overwhelming. I suspect that even though it stopped after the NDE, that there may be moments when you have that.
Yeah, but not to that degree, thank God. And it's controllable. I can turn it on and off. I do get profound insights. I'll give you a quick example that I was explaining this afternoon. My roommate about 10 years ago, his mother was ill. He'd go up every weekend from Austin to Dallas, play guitar, talk to her. One time he went up, and I knew that she was going to pass. That was Friday afternoon. Sunday morning, I felt her walk through my kitchen looking beautiful. She said, like a teenager,
yeah.
She said, I'm out of here. You understand. Explain to Jim. And she was, and within minutes, Jim called me and said she just passed away. And it took me a couple years to get him to clearly understand that she was saying, hey, be at peace. I'm free. I'm a teenager.
Yeah.
So I get spontaneous, strong impressions, but even those are nice and light compared to where I was. I'm not near as psychic as I was in that 1 week, but it was unmanageable.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of a choice. Do you want to have a little bit of skill and manage it, or do you want to be completely nuts? You know, see everything, but not be able to...
You can't affect it. You can just see it. And that's the thing that I think people don't understand with it. It's just you're not going to go in and shift it or change it even when you see a bad outcome. And you can't tell people they don't believe it. And part of it is you're not supposed to interfere.
Right. No, you're right. I mean, you know, you're supposed to help people, enlighten people, but you also have to respect that everybody has the right to learn on their own terms, on their own time, their own errors and strengths.
Yes, and that's what you, in some of the stuff you talk about, is like, you know, just because you see it coming doesn't mean you can duck or avoid it.
Right, right.
It's like it's your arrow. Just figure out where it's going to hurt the least.
By the way, you have a beautiful voice. Do you know that?
Oh, thank you. Well, sometimes the microphone works.
Well, have you been a singer?
No. Matter of fact, that's one of my stage fright moments when I was in fifth grade and went on the stage in front of the entire school, and you couldn't hear me from the first row. And one little girl's brother, who was probably, you know, 2 years younger than me, sat on the first row and put his little ear out to let me know that I was inaudible, and I was so traumatized. It was one of the things I decided maybe I shouldn't be a singer.
Well, I probably shouldn't have either. I spent 45 years being a professional entertainer. About half of it as a solo artist with a crappy voice, but I learned to be a good entertainer.
Well, storytelling.
I learned to entertain people, you know? Make them laugh, have fun, lighten up. Don't take yourself so damn serious.
Yeah, it's like they'll listen to the music and, you know, the story comes along with it. It's like, hey, you feel good. Yeah, well, and I was, the guitar, you've got on your website your bio with the music and the film and the whole nine yards. And if you're listening, you know, you can check it out, Gary. And it's GaryWimmer.com, two M's. And then you can also, The Second in Eternity, A Second in Eternity is the name of the book. All this stuff is on the website. Again, you studied with the woman we just barely glossed over, Alice. You said that was really like a lifesaver. She was right there, and you saw what she was doing and thought, well, you could do it too.
Yeah, I met her in 1980. She did a reading involving lithomancy. I'd never seen it. I'd done readings with a lot of different methods, but as soon as I saw it, I thought, this is mine. I like this. It's very visual. It's looking at 16 stones and reading them like a clock. I met her in 1980, and we were friends till she passed away a couple years ago. In fact, we're still friends.
And that's what I was going to ask. I was going to ask if you still have contact, because you said 2013 is when she... Okay.
Real quick, from the time I met her till she passed, I helped her a lot with her rent sometimes, and her car was always screwed up and shit. And she'd always say, Gary, I can't pay you back. I said, Alice, I will pay up anything now up front. All I want from you ever is to become my guide when you pass over. I asked her that in life over and over and over and over, and every day I feel her. She passed away a couple years ago.
Uh-huh.
I put little things that she used to own next to me, I draw her in consciously. And people can do that. But you have to set your mind open to it and be free to learn how to do it. Once you set your mind open to do it, you learn to read the signs better.
Well, it has to be. It's a co-creation, too, because she also she would be engaged from her end as well.
Oh, absolutely. It's a two-way tango.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. Definitely, but... you know, she promised me in life she would, and I feel her all the time. I really do, and I have what I call my Fantastic Four. I was raised Catholic. Jesus Christ, my two parents, Mom and Dad, great parents, raised seven sons.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady, Alice, who's the best psychic I've ever known. She was incredible. She's told me about 30 different past lives I've had with different people over the 30 years I've known her. Incredible psychic. So it's great to have her as a guide. Darn right.
I thought, see, my lucky number is seven. So when you're talking, you said the seven guardians, or mine happen to be called the messengers.
Yeah, the monitors. Seven.
Yeah, yours are monitors. Mine are messengers. And it's so funny because then you said the third of seven sons. And so my husband's like, that's seven Spanish angels. We were both thinking Willie Nelson when you said there were seven. I'm like, and you just, that seven Spanish angels came to mind. And you're in Texas, so there's a whole lot of synchronicity there.
Interesting, yeah. Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, I've always thought the third of seven brothers, those are kind of both real spiritual numbers, and I'm the only one of seven boys who really is interested in this or pursues it. I've done it my whole life, music, art, psychic readings, acting, writing. You know, never went into the business world, but never got in traffic either. I avoid a whole adult life of being in traffic, especially nowadays.
Yes. Well, okay. Well, yeah. Yeah. At least this one little bump here won't be, I hope.
Today's bump didn't help my ticket. That was...
it's like, well, apparently, this is a way of remembering it, okay? There's a reason you're supposed to remember this, and that's one way of setting a place marker on it. I think that...
Oh, I screwed up, did something stupid, passed on a yellow zone, you know.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, I don't need to take it, and it was a reminder. Gary, just be cool.
Just chill. Just chill.
Something's driving way too slow. You know,
so when
30 miles an hour on a 55-mile-an-hour road.
Oops. that's rather over, yeah. Okay, so with this, on your own forecast for yourself, did you get a sense of how long you're here?
I don't think I'm going to leave too quickly. I do think I'm going to go in an accident.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like I've seen that. Having been on this side and the other side, I know that no big deal. You know, the transition could be quick or fast or whatever, or it could drag on a little bit longer than I choose to believe. But I'm not afraid about it, and I don't know the date.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're going to let me off the planet too early.
You'll get to come visit Kansas.
Oh, I'll do that, my dear. I sure will.
Well, it's just that when we get stuff that's like that, you know, that's the people want all the answers. Okay, do you get it ahead of time? And sometimes you do, and most of the time it isn't helpful.
Yeah, well, I use this analogy. There's two different analogies. One is what you can create, and the good thing about what you can create is letting go of what you can change. If you can't change it, don't let it block your horizon. Move on. There's some stuff written in stone, genes and so forth, your time and place of birth, a lot of things. We can't change that. But what we can change is how we look at things. And when we look at things different, we can look at life, and no matter what we go through, is enlightening us instead of screwing with us. And when we do that, we're doing exactly what life is trying to do, enlighten us, not screw with us. So the very simple decision, just to see yourself as everything in your life is benefiting you in some form or another, actually does that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember your question. Did I answer it, or was there a question?
Oh, no, that was good. That was good. I was jumping on to the next thing where I saw you made a comment about Eben Alexander when he was giving his how he remembered his near-death experience and saying that he felt that ultimate, that love thing, and you knew right then that nobody could express it if they hadn't been there.
Absolutely. I heard him on Morgan Freeman, and he talked about his NDE, and at the core being infinite love. Immediately, I felt this shock, because you wouldn't think of saying that unless you could. I guess someone could program you that, but the sincerity, yeah. And what's interesting is a lot more people nowadays are having near-death experiences and out-of-body experiences and spiritual experiences, and that's why I'm an optimist, because that's what the universe is trying to show us. Not how to build more damn weapons and draw more lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How to see more connections and empathy and compassion and love and forgiveness and growth and mutual benefit. I mean, isn't that a bunch of good stuff to work for?
Absolutely. Yeah. We're wrapping up here. I want to plug again your website, GaryWimmer.com, and the book is The Second in Eternity. And do you travel around? I mean, will you make it to Kansas?
I don't have any plans immediately. I've got a little back pain. It's hard for me to walk too far, so I probably won't walk up there.
Okay, fine. We'll make you do Skype.
It's open.
You'll have to do Skype.
Have plane ticket, we'll travel.
Okay, and no speeding.
don't worry, I wouldn't drive that far.
Okay.
Hey, well, thank you so much, Wendy, and again, my apologies for getting the ticket. It delayed me by about 45 minutes.
You're good. You're good. It probably saved you from something else, okay? So we're good with that. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate your time, and I know you've got some good energy to share with anybody who's going to cross your path. So thank you for doing what you're doing.
Keep me posted. Love to be with you again. Have a good night. God bless. Same.
Thank you. And if you're listening, same thing. That curiosity is the thing that's it's an open door. And no, it didn't kill the cat, okay? It just kills the pessimist. So open your mind, look up, and pay attention to the synchronicities in your life, because some things are just, that's it. It's the symbolism. It's that thing of saying, what do you think? And how far can you go with that? Thank you for listening tonight. I appreciate your time, your effort, and your energy. And if you want more information, check out the Wendy's Coffee House website. Some good links on there, and some we'll do a little bit of a background on tonight's show, and more links to Gary. We'll put a video up there, too. Until then, drink lots of coffee. Well, maybe decaf, okay? See ya.